find the baby, the Lord Jesus. Matthew 2, verse 1. Let's read together these words found here in the Word of God, the Bible. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. May the Lord write these words on our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to bless this reading and our thoughts on it tonight. Father, we thank thee that we are gathered here in the Lord's house to give praise to the God of heaven for the gospel, the good news that a Savior is come into the world. And we take great delight this evening to lift up our hearts, souls, and minds unto thee, and ask that you will just encourage us and strengthen us in our faith, that we may be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will deliver us from doubts and fears, and we thank thee that you got the victory in the birth of our Savior, in the life of our Savior, and in the death at the cross, that our Lord sent Satan to flight and conquered him completely. We thank thee that for the child of God, for the Christian, there is no more curse, because Christ became a curse for us. There is no more spiritual death, because our Lord Jesus conquered death. And we thank thee that there is no hell. We rejoice that the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all iniquity, and that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. We ask this evening that you will give us the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that he has come to minister the grace, the fullness of the Lord Jesus to our souls. And we pray that in this time of rejoicing in a living Savior, that we will know the gracious presence, aid, and power of God the Holy Spirit, helping us, enabling us to profit from your word and to grow in grace. Bless the children here this evening. We thank thee for them. We pray that your grace will be upon them, that they will be led into the paths of righteousness, but that they will also be given new hearts, new minds, to walk and serve the Lord. We pray that you will help parents in all their cares. And we're mindful also this evening of our missionaries who in many places have gone forth to take the gospel. O God, speed the day when every knee shall bow to our Lord Jesus. Remember our own family members who are out of Christ without a Savior. O Lord, we pray that your love, your Holy Spirit will minister to them and that they will be drawn and brought to know and rest in the Savior. And Lord, we also remember the persecuted churches around the world, Christians that are bruised and broken by brutal societies because of their love for the Savior. We ask, O Lord, that even in a prison cell, that you may minister and pour in your grace. And so we ask your blessing upon your church, upon your people, so that glory and honor will be to your name. So speak to us now as we open thy word. Come alongside and minister to us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're back to Matthew 2 this evening and these verses that we read here together. And here is our opening question this evening. Why are these men called wise? And I know the answer, many say, because wise people seek Jesus. But these men are referred to as wise even before they got to find the Lord Jesus. The other question is, how many wise men were there? Most Christmas cards will show you three. That seems to be the most common number. The Bible doesn't say that, nor does it tell us exactly how far they traveled. But somehow there was an awakening within their hearts and minds that they must leave all and make the journey all the way to Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem was the most likely city where a king of the Jews would be born. Now, why Easterners, while Jews were asleep to the imminent coming of their Messiah into the world? Why these men with turbans, possibly riding on camels, from all these miles from the faraway land in the east? Why them? Not why all in the locality where the Lord Jesus were born? Well, we're certainly glad they came, because we have here in the Bible an amazing, wonderful record of what it means to come and to seek the Lord Jesus. And we're encouraged that the Lord can stir up people in the most unlikely places, people you would never imagine that they would take an interest in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And while many reject and turn aside to the news of the gospel, the Lord is well able to raise up people of all parts of the world to bring them and make them worshipers of the Lord Jesus. Now tonight we're simply going to look at this, asking the question, who may come to Jesus? Who may come to Jesus. Now, in our fallen human nature, there's always this sense of estrangement. I could never be a Christian. I could never come and be a believer in the Lord Jesus. The Lord wouldn't want me. And you could probably come up with a long list of reasons. Why not you? Well, I want to disabuse you of those silly reasons. Because they are silly. Jesus came into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the whosoever. Now, if that name had been Ian or John or Jack or Jean or some other specific name, you would say, well, then that's not me. But the whosoever throws the net far and wide to all who will come to the Lord Jesus. Now, you might be asking, but what do I need to know that I may also, like these wise men, come to the Lord Jesus? So we need to look at what these men knew. That's the basic steps we need to follow. What did these men know that brought them all the miles and eventually right to worship the new child, the Lord Jesus? Now, in the first question they asked when they arrived at Herod's gates, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They knew that. Somehow, they knew that there was to be born in Judea a king. And he was the King of the Jews. Now, what gave them that knowledge? Who told them? Now, I said we don't know from what part of the East they came. If they came from Iraq, which would certainly be very likely, they would have been amongst what we call the Jewish diaspora. Way back in 556 BC, the Jerusalemites were conquered by the Chaldeans, taken as slaves into exile, and thousands of Jews worked as slaves, made new homes, made a life for themselves, and then, at the command of Cyrus the king, they returned. Well, about 50,000 Jews returned from Iraq, Babylon, all the way back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. But many did not. There were multiple thousands and thousands of Jewish people who remained in the Persian Empire, scattered all around it. And if you know the story of Esther and Haman, you will know that the command went out to destroy the Jews in all quarters. So they were scattered and they were present. And they had the scriptures. These dispersed Jews had the word of God. And these wise men, whoever they were, must have heard some of these facts. And they were awakened by it. And they were stirred by this news that a king would be born into Judaism. A Messiah, he was called. In the New Testament, he is referred to as the Christ. And so they had that knowledge. But we also know that they were moved by the star. The wise men followed the star. Now, we don't know what kind of students of astronomy they were. They might have just been hobby astronomers. Some people like to take that up for a pastime. They go to London Drugs or maybe somewhere more specific and they buy themselves a wonderful lens that they can study the sky at night and the stars and the formations of the stars. These men were into that. What power of equipment they had? Well, again, we don't know. But they were moved by a special star because they called it his star. This is quite amazing. They knew that this was not normal. They knew it wasn't just a shooting star or a falling star, but it was his star. And so they were very motivated, stirred in heart to make the journey all the way across those miles and to find this young child. And they were sure and certain about the birth of Christ. Where is he? It wasn't, well, you know, could you confirm what we are sort of postulating? We've got a hypothesis that we want to see if there's any merit to it. No, where is he? They were absolutely certain that this child had been born. And that shows the marvelous timing of the star. And when they left and when they arrived, well, we'll get into that in just a moment. Now, they also knew that he was not just a savior of the Jews. Otherwise, why would they come? Nowadays, Gentiles make up the vast, vast majority of believers. The number of Jewish Christians in the world, that is Jewish by descent, but Christian by their worship and by their faith, well, they make up a small number. Praise God, they are Jewish converts. Those who are brought out of that legalistic religion and brought to true faith in the Lord Jesus. And we are thankful for each one. But today, Gentiles, well, people of all nations, of all nationalities, and people of all walks, they are believers in the Lord Jesus. But these wise men were coming at an early period when that was very hard to take in. And they had no problem coming to worship the Lord Jesus for himself. Now, we know that Christ came for to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world. Not just Jews, not just Israelites, not just people of one lineage or who could trace their bloodline to Abraham. Indeed, the promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And so this gospel is for the world. It's for people of all walks. And these wise men got that message. Now, we in Canada ought never to be discouraged that we now live in a multicultural society where there are people of all backgrounds, immigrants from every country of the world almost, and our mosaic in Canada is an amazing thing. And there are liberties and freedoms, opportunities that we rejoice in, but it's also an opportunity for the gospel. And we ought to rejoice that the Lord can save people of all walks, just as these wise men were brought to trust in the Lord. I wonder tonight, are you praying for your immigrant neighbor? Are you praying for the new person that's just arrived in Canada? Are you praying for those perhaps who are steeped in other religions, dark, heathenish religions, idolatry, that they may be brought to become true worshipers of the Lord Jesus? That's a great thing to ponder this evening as we think of the birth of our Savior into the world. Jesus' church is an international church. No one is excluded except those who exclude themselves. And if you say it's not for me, well, you'll never stand on the judgment day and say, I was never invited. I was never wanted. No, the door is wide open. The welcome is universal to all who will come. The Lord is the Savior of all who believe, all who repent, turning from their sins and the world and bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus. And that's the crux of it all. Will you bow the knee to the Lord Jesus? These wise men did when they entered into the home of Mary and Joseph. They found the child and they worshipped him. Are you willing to do that? Not just to get excited about traditions and calendar dates and so on, but to truly give your heart worship to the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to split my sermon in two tonight. We're going to turn to the hymnal at this point. We're going to sing together number 88, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Number 88 in our hymn book, and we'll sing together, O Come, All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. O come ye, to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Number 88. Shall we stand to sing? Be seated. You may be seated. The next thing that these wise men knew is that they should not allow any hindrances to stop them, prevent them from finding where the Lord Jesus could be found. They were not hindered by distance nor by time. And I tried to look up the distance between Baghdad, Babylon, and Jerusalem. Now, I'm not saying that's where the wise men originated, it could be much further perhaps. But if it was Baghdad, the trip from there to Jerusalem would be like you and me traveling to Calgary, something similar. 880 kilometers, it's probably nearly 1,000 kilometers to Calgary, so possibly a little tad shorter. And of course, today to drive it, it is about an 11-hour drive. For people who have cars, and there are highways over there now, you would travel from Bethlehem, if you go the other route, right up north of Galilee, that's Route 90, Route 71 across Jordan, and then Route 40 further west to Iraq, and then on into Baghdad. 11 hours by car. But I'm not sure how fast or slow camels or animals in that day traveled. And again, do we know that they had camels? But, you know, the normal means of transport in those days would have been rather slow. And so I try to work it out that if they traveled 5 miles per hour, that's a fair good clip. A horse can go about 4 miles per hour. 5 is really good. So if they could do that, and they continued journeying for 8 hours per day, it would take them about 20 days to make the trip across to find this child, the Lord Jesus. Now, did you know that whenever they found the Lord Jesus, he was about 2 years old? He was no longer in the manger, no longer in the stable, no longer in very primitive housing. But when they arrived, they found the child in a house. And the original word is not for infant, newborn baby, it is a toddler. And when they arrived into the city of Bethlehem, the star leading them there, they found the child. And oh boy, the trouble had been worth it all. 20 days or so traveling, the expense of it, the time involved, the journeying, the wearisomeness, and now the reward of finding the Lord. You know, there are some people, and coming to meet the Lord Jesus is very burdensome. If you suggested them to go to Las Vegas to a casino, they would have no trouble. But when you invite them to come and hear the gospel, it seems to, Cloverdale's a long way out. It's a way out there in the valley. Well, this used to be the center of the valley. This was the hub, because it was a train station stop for the pioneers. And the feed and their supplies would arrive right here in Cloverdale. Now, of course, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who want to live in Cloverdale. And I'm told that the smallest little lot, a vacant lot with nothing on it, cost you $500,000 to live in Cloverdale. And so when people say, it's a long way to Cloverdale, I'm not sure if even I could find your church. And it's on the other side of the bridge. That usually is the big stumbling block for people on the Vancouver side. And they say it's too far to come. Well, these wise men made no such excuses. And they persevered. And when they got the direction, and they were told Bethlehem, and when that star reappeared, they were rejoicing, absolutely rejoicing. And so you and I need to take a leaf out of their book and let nothing stop us from seeking and worshiping the Lord Jesus, no matter what it is, lifestyle, bad habits, time schedule, work, whatever it might be. Don't let anything stop you from seeking and to find the Lord Jesus. Along those roads that they traveled, there were many dangers. There were mountains, terrain, valleys, gullies. There were bandits along the way. There were many risks in taking that trip, but they understood that it was worth it all. And Herod, well, he had a bad rap. Even before they would have come into the scene of Jerusalem, they would have known this is a ruthless man. This is a very wicked man. And of course, he saw the arrival and the inquiries of these wise men from the east, talking about the birth of a new king. He called this political interference. Who are these wise men coming, seeking a king in my domain? And no wonder he said, now when you find the child, make sure you let me know, because I want to come and worship him too. Liar. He had no intention of worshiping this child, but he had every intention of destroying him, which we know from the killing of every child under the age of 2 years, while Mary and Joseph had fled to Egypt and kept the child safe. Now, do not be hindered. If you care to listen to my Sunday evening sermon, don't be hindered by Mary either. Some people at this time of year, they get their hearts and minds on Mary to such a degree that they miss the child. When these wise men arrived at the doorstep and found the child in the house, they didn't worship Mary. They didn't exalt Mary. They brought their gifts, they bowed and worshiped at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And don't let any religious figure, pastor, priest, or anyone else, hinder you until you come as a personal worshiper of the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Now, the last thing they knew, I will just point this one out, they knew to give all honor to the Son of God. Now, let's look at the text here. I haven't followed the passage all that closely here, but let's go to verse 10. And you will see here that they came with a rejoicing spirit. There was a happiness here. This faith, this knowledge that they had concerning the birth of this king, it was an exciting, a wonderful event. They knew that he was the light of the world, and he was so meaningful to them, so that they did not come coldly, reluctantly. Oh boy, another day's journey, another distance to go. No, they saw the star, rejoicing in it. Let's go. Let's follow. And so there was a happy countenance, and they were coming. Christianity is not penance. Christianity is not misery. Christianity is joy that a Savior is come. Oh, yes, we sorrow that we have sinned against him. We repent of our own evil and iniquities and our own slowness to seek him at times. But when we find the Lord Jesus, we rejoice in him. Now, when the star went out of sight, they mourned. They mourned. If you lost your Bible, would you mourn? If somehow, I don't know, maybe your Bible, you were maybe on a walk and you took your Bible on a walk and you were leaning over a bridge and it fell into the river. And there you saw it floating down the river. And it's gone, right into the muddy river. Would you worry about it? Would that be a good day or a bad day? These wise men, when they missed the star, that was a bad day. They had to go asking by more normal means. And they still kept looking. They still kept seeking. They didn't give up. Now, that's just to point out your need to be a seeker, searching, following after the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 11, and you'll see that when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. Now the object was the young child, not Mary. He was with Mary his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. They prostrated themselves, they humbled themselves, and they gave their adoration to that child. Many stop short of that. And I fear on this Christmas season, that's what often happens. People get excited. Christmas is coming. It's a time of gatherings and festivity. It's a time of traditions. And people get very nostalgic and they get excited about it. But they stop far short of bowing the knee to worship the Lord Jesus. Now, their honor was very, very evident. They fell down, we're told. They worshiped the Lord, not Mary. Now, what would they have done to worship the Lord? Worship in the Bible means bow the knee. But it's more than just the physical prostration. It also means the bowing the knee of our hearts. They would have admired, wondered, delighted, and praised the Lord Jesus, the child they found. And then they honored him with their offerings, these items of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They didn't bring those items to barter and trade. They came to honor their king. They knew that this would be appropriate. And they came to give him their all. Now, this is a very basic principle in the gospel message. You do not buy your way into favor with God. The church is not a monetizing industry. It is not a trap for people's money. It is not a guilt trip, gimme, gimme, gimme more. No, the gospel message is grace. It's full, it's free. And these men offered these things as a part of their worship by faith. Now, it was amazing faith, really, because they only saw a child. They didn't see any glitter, halos. They didn't see any angels. They didn't see anything that was phenomenal or outstanding. They saw a child. The child did no miracles. He didn't jump hoops or do anything spectacular. And, of course, he didn't teach them anything. The Lord Jesus, the child, didn't say, you know, give them a sermon. He was just an infant, just a toddler. Could barely speak, just learning to speak. And yet they, by faith, God-given, God-planted faith, knew this was the Christ, the Son of God. And it's that miraculous faith that makes a Christian. It's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, a disciple and a denier. And it is this God-given belief, this is the one, this is the Savior whom God has sent into the world. And to close it off, they knew the star wouldn't save them. No, even though they had followed that star for hundreds of miles, they didn't put any faith in a star. The star was but a vehicle. It was an instrument to bring them on track. And if I go back to the Bible again, this Bible won't save you. You could memorize it from Genesis to Revelation. That would be a feat. You could come to know it so wonderfully, but the pages of the Bible will not save your soul. It is the Christ, it is the Savior that this Bible teaches us and reveals to us. The one whom the Father hath sent, whom the Father has honored, whom God raised up again from the dead, brought him into the right hand to dwell with him. He reigns at God's right hand. This is the Jesus that saves our soul. And we take our great delight in him. He's the light of the world. What a wonderful thing. The star was a short, temporary guide. But Jesus is the light of the world. It's him and him alone. I trust tonight you are a believer, that you find this joy to your heart, that you take great delight in this, because that's what our celebration's all about. God sent his Son to seek and to save that which was lost. Wonderful. And I bid you, seek the Lord Jesus. Start by reading this book. This is like the star. Let this word guide you. Don't follow a man. Don't follow some tradition. Follow the word, the living book of God. It will never lead you astray. It will always lead you to Jesus, just as the star did. It will always lead you to know and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's finalize our meeting, bring our meeting to a close with hymn number 92. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. We've got to stand to sing this closing hymn, please. 92. We're going to close in prayer. Pray for those who could not be here. Some I know that are ill, and some are traveling, and others, we would have loved to have had them with us, but maybe they'll come on Sunday. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank thee for this precious time that we have in your house and in your word. And we thank thee for the happy fellowship that we have in rejoicing in our Savior who has come to seek and to save us as we were lost. We thank thee that you're still saving your people and adding to your church. And we pray that around the world that you will call many to saving faith in thy dear Son. Send the Holy Ghost to convict, to convert, and to work your will in many, many hearts. Bless those who are unwell this evening. We pray for healing. We pray for the comforting ministry of the Spirit. And for those who are traveling, that you will bring them back again safely, to keep them in all their ways, and to be gracious unto them. Now, bless us now as we part. And grant, Lord, that through this week we will know your everlasting arms around us until we meet again in the name of our Lord Jesus. And in his name we ask and pray. Amen.